He is on the Window Nation guest hotline, Jacob Calvin Meyer. Jacob, good morning. Belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year preemptive. How you doing, man?
Happy holidays, fellow. Thanks for having me on.
All right. What happened? What's the deal with the actual con? Because there's that fine line, Jacob, as you know. Did the Orioles come cheap and he split because they didn't come fair with the deal? Or they offered more than Arizona, which has been reported by a couple of people. He just wanted to go home. Where's the reality here, at least as close to reality as we can get right now, in regards to the Orioles' interest in keeping him around?
Yeah, I understand that's a big focus of the fan base is how much they tried. At the end of the day, of course, it didn't matter because he had, even if they had offered more than 210, he had a clear preference to be close to home. And just one note on that to start with, that not to make excuses for any of the teams that tried to get him and didn't, but this wasn't a minor thing with Corbin Burnes, right? I've only been covering the team for 2 years. But in those 2 years, I don't know if there's a player that is more kind of family oriented or dedicated to his family than Corbin Burnes, who flew home to Arizona after multiple starts, flew in to start the All-Star game the morning of, and then flew home immediately after he left the game. And he's got 3 kids under 3 and all that. So that was an uphill battle to start for the Orioles and really any East Coast team looking to sign him. My understanding, and this is all a guess, right, based on anonymous sources of multiple different reports from different outlets, if you mash all of them together, my understanding of it is that the Orioles offered what would have been a franchise record contract, so more than $161 million that they gave to Chris Davis, and that worked out great, didn't it? But less than the $210 that Arizona gave. That's my understanding of all the reports. That doesn't mean that that's necessarily the facts of what happened. We're probably never going to know exactly what the Orioles' offer was, but it looks like the Blue Jays offered something in the 7 for $250 range, and he turned that down. That's obviously $40 million more than what he got from Arizona and a higher annual average value. And so, listen, you have to play with the hands that you're dealt. I know Mike Elias loves to move the left field wall in and out, but you can't move the franchise and move him to Arizona to get Corbin Burnes unless, John Angelos wants to come back and move his team to Nashville. But listen, it was an uphill battle from the start. But my understanding of all the reports, if you mash them together, is that the Orioles made an offer that didn't really seem to be as competitive as what Arizona ended up offering, and then San Francisco and the Blue Jays both offered, it seems, more than $210 million.
Based on your experience covering him for that 1 year, Jacob, if the Orioles offer, and again, we don't know what it really was until Boris or Burnes himself tells the world, which I don't think they will, if it was similar, if not exceeded Arizona, were they still kind of at a disadvantage because he just wanted to be around it? Look, he's in Arizona where he lives. Spring training's in Arizona. I mean, duh, kind of makes sense, right? And they're good. Yeah, they're not bad. They're not a bad team either.
Well, in fact, you could probably say, not to take an unnecessary shot, but that Arizona might be the best rebuild of this decade ahead of the Orioles, right? Just a couple of years ago, the same year as the Orioles, they lost 108 games. 2 years later, they make the World Series, and now they're out here spending money. And so, Arizona's no slouch. It's not like he went to, he chose to go to some crappy team just because it's close to home. My guess, again, this is really just a guess, knowing Corbin Burnes a little bit, is that he really wanted to be on the West Coast, and it seems like Arizona is really where he wanted to be. And so the negotiations with teams on the East Coast were probably just to get Arizona to pay as much as Arizona was willing to pay. And so if you get the Blue Jays to offer $250 million and maybe you get the Orioles to offer something that is perhaps less than $210 million, but maybe the average, the yearly salary would be more than what he ended up getting from Arizona, you can use those two offers to get Arizona to bring more to the table. That's my guess. Listen, that doesn't mean that the Orioles could not sign Corbin Burnes, but I think a lot of the frustration from the fan base, which is generally understandable considering how difficult it's been to be a fan of this organization for the past 4 decades, isn't just about Corbin Burnes. It's about the fact that we're about to head into the new year, and Zach Eflin and Grayson Rodriguez are still the number one and number two starters on this team, despite the fact that there were a ton of starting pitchers on the market that they could have gone after, and it doesn't seem like they were able to to land any of them.
You must be reading my mind, because my next question, Jacob Calvin Meyer from the Baltimore Sun, A, where do the Orioles go from here, looking for a starting pitcher or two to supplement the rotation, and back to this whole same old Orioles narrative where they're not really trying to win, it's all smoke and mirrors. So where do you stand on both of those subjects right now?
Yeah, this whole offseason, I've been trying to take a wider lens to it, which is getting me, a lot of people are mad at me in my mentions on social media and via email for not, just going all in and saying that this has been a terrible offseason, because, I'm old enough to remember 10 months ago when they didn't go out in the offseason and get an ace starting pitcher, and then February 1st, they trade for Corbin Burnes, and it changed the entire complexion of the offseason, and a lot of the people, including myself, last offseason, who were saying, oh, they're not going to do this, they're not going to go all in, they're not going to get an ace, blah, blah, blah. Those people ended up being wrong. And so there's still about 6 weeks left in this offseason. And if you go back, hindsight's 2020, but with the way that this offseason has played out, with every pitcher essentially getting not overpaid, but more than what they were projected, Max Fried has a forearm issue and he gets $218 million. Corbin Burnes, who's outstanding, his strikeout rate has declined in four straight seasons. He gets $210 million. Blake Snell pitches five innings a start. He gets $180-some million, right? It's like all of these guys are getting a lot of money. If you go back and look at that, and then you look and you say, oh, there's 10 to 12 pitchers who would profile as either a number one or number two starter who are all available on the trade market, I would say, even though I know people want them to spend money, and at some point they're going to have to spend money if they want to be true contenders, year after year, that's just the only way it can work in baseball. This offseason, it might make more sense to go out and get somebody via trade. It doesn't have to be a one-year rental like Corbin Burnes was. There are pitchers. Luis Castillo has 2 years of team control. I think Bryce Miller has 4 years of team control. Mitch Keller has 5 years of team control. There's a ton of these guys. The Orioles have some excess bats. Ryan Mountcastle's been somebody who's been rumored in trades for years. Heston Kerstad, Kobe Mayo, they can part ways with one or two of those guys. They also have depth in the farm system, and go out and get a starting pitcher. If tomorrow the Orioles go out and trade for Luis Castillo or Bryce Miller, and you slot that guy atop the Orioles rotation, it's not replacing Corbin Burnes, right? There's only about seven or eight pitchers of Corbin Burnes' caliber, but it would completely change the makeup of the offseason. And so I'm not just going to kind of overreact and say, oh, they didn't do enough this offseason, because it's just not over yet.
Jacob Calvin Meyer, Baltimore Sun, Jack Flaherty, reunion real or no?
Yeah, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
No, six months ago? No.
Yeah, but it's like the Orioles fans are so desperate that whether or not they consider this to be a good offseason is whether Mike Elias gives Jack Flaherty $100 million. It would surprise me, frankly. The vibes were just not great when he was here. There's been some talk about him being kind of out of gas when they traded for him, which is funny because the next year they trade for Trevor Rogers, who was also out of gas. Mm. So I would, either they need to build a gas station near Camden Yards, or they need to, acquire pitchers who, have more than, a half a tank. But no, listen, if they don't think that they can get somebody via trade, then Jack Flaherty is really the only guy left that makes sense at all, right? He profiles as more of a number two starter than a true number one. But that would give the Orioles three number two quality starters in Eflin and Flaherty and Grayson. And while that's not ideal, you do have Bradish coming back, potentially late in the season. That rotation is more than good enough with this offense to make the postseason. People forget the Orioles won 101 games 2 years ago without Corbin Burnes. So it's not like the season's over or everything's dead. My guess, though, is that I think it makes a lot more sense that they can that they go out and acquire somebody via trade, perhaps a starting pitcher who has multiple years of team control. That's my guess. And if they don't do that, if they go into spring training with Zach Eflin and Grayson Rodriguez as the number one and number two starter on this team, then the front office deserves all the criticism that they're getting right now. But again, there's still 6 weeks left, and we saw what happened last offseason. Man.